Oklahoma State is looking for a new defensive coordinator. Derek Mason has himself put this out. I first saw a report from Brandon Marcello of 24/7. Others reporting it, and they're reporting it because Derek Mason himself has said it. I'll read a portion of this. After 30 consecutive seasons, I've decided to take a sabbatical from coaching in college at the conclusion of my current contract at OSU. So, and then Mike Gundy did put out a statement as well on Mike Gundy's Twitter account. So, anyway, OSU looking for a new defensive coordinator. And then the other thing that we've seen in the last hour is that Buffalo and Kansas City, should they meet in the AFC Championship game, it will be played inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Of course, the reason for that is because the Chiefs finished a half game ahead of the Bills, but the Bills beat the Chiefs. So if the Bills had won the game that they started at Cincinnati, they would have been tied and had the tiebreaker. Because that didn't happen, we know why. Because of the unfortunate deal with DeMar Hamlin, the NFL sought a suitable solution, and they chose to say that it should Buffalo and Kansas City meet, it'll be at a neutral site, and that neutral site will be in Atlanta. So those are a couple things we're finding out over the last hour.
So, Marcus, let's start with Derek Mason. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that. So what do you think, Marcus? Derek Mason out at OSU, so where does Mike Gundy turn?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I think it's you know, it came out right after the season that he was on a kind of a weird announcement of a series of 1-year contracts. So probably a mutual parting of the ways, I would say. So I
sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's, in his words, stepping away from college football makes it seem like if he at least had a hand in it. But I read some trend lines that I don't know that Derek Mason was the problem. I don't know that fixes what's wrong in Stillwater. You know, obviously a lot of that's going to depend on who they replace him with, but I don't know. I had read a couple of pieces that talked about stat lines comparing his tenure to Jim Knowles and his improvement to Jim Knowles over the time he was there. Excuse me, guys. Sorry. I'm still fighting my way back. And it did not seem like Derek Mason, the look of the numbers on him were not as bad as you might have been led to believe. So I don't know how much this improves the situation in Stillwater.
Marcus, any other thoughts on that one?
No, I'm having a hard time. Brad's a little low for me. But I would just say that I don't know that, again, the problems – at OSU defensively, I don't know that was necessarily. I mean, I at the end of the year, things were kind of rough on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of that was injuries, but we'll see which way he wants to go. And I think kind of philosophy of what type of defense you're going to have. You know, they've got some interesting players on that side of the ball with Colin Oliver as kind of a rush guy that you could move around potentially and get some pressure on the quarterback. Plus, I think that Daniels in the secondary played a little bit without a position this year. So, you know, maybe some creativity that they can find on defense.
Yeah. Guys, we got the NFL playoffs getting underway this weekend, and I want to get your thoughts on what I think are two more interesting stories involving quarterbacks. And we can handicap the games tomorrow and so forth, but Lamar Jackson and then the Tua situation in Miami. But this Lamar Jackson, we were just talking about this guy. I mean, he got hurt on December the 4th, and it was still up in the air, and a lot of people assumed he was going to be back. And I told Matt, I said, when they went into last weekend and didn't even play Tyler Huntley, their backup, and I know he's dealing with some injury too, minor injury, but they went with Anthony Brown, all right, a guy who – had only played one game and you know, had yet to throw a pass or played a couple of games and yet to throw a pass, you know, before they start this guy. To me, that told me that Lamar Jackson didn't even play in these playoffs, that they were afraid of getting Tyler Huntley, you know, injured last weekend. But, Marcus, how much of this is contract-related, if any, and how much of it is injury-related? And if it is all injury-related, Man, what does that do? I mean, how much money are you going to spend on Lamar Jackson trying to sign him?
Man, I don't know. I would, you know, again, want him to stay healthy. I think the Ravens are one of the better organizations in football. They're extremely well coached. I think they've really got a good plan. I think they just need to make him a fair offer. I mean, I haven't looked at their books and know what their salary commitments are elsewhere, but I don't know that. I think some of these franchises just go in and they'll sign guys to basically whatever the max is, just to do it, you know. And so I would think that they, you know, for example, I think Jerry got himself into a problem with the money that he spent on the offensive side of the ball, especially with Zeke and Dak, as far as what they could do other areas. And I think he's one of the guys that kind of just spends haphazardly. So I trust that the Ravens will get it right.
Well, the Ravens have all the cards in this situation. I mean, they obviously control their own destiny with him, if you want to put it that way, because they can make him a fair offer. They can franchise him. They've got options of what they can do. It is interesting that they do seem to be, to your point, Craig, acting like they don't want to get him hurt because they don't want to damage any value if they do decide to go that direction. But, I mean, the worst thing you can do, you talk about overpaying. You talk about Jerry Jones getting himself in trouble in Dallas with overpaying. I think the Cardinals probably look back on the deal they gave Kyler in the season that he had this year and thought, well, maybe we didn't need to do that at the time that we did it. I think the Ravens are pushing the situation in a way that the Cardinals didn't do. The Cardinals, I think, rushed it. I think the Ravens are delaying it to the point that they need to be smarter with it because they're going to wind up with a frustrated – they already have a frustrated quarterback. But I don't really understand exactly what they're doing because they're not going to win without him. They weren't going to win last week without him. I just don't understand exactly what they're doing. And I know that he's frustrated, and I do know that it's an issue in terms of his viability health-wise, but I can't quite put my finger on what I think the Ravens are doing. I agree with Mark. I think they're one of the better managed organizations out there, but I can't quite figure this out because it sort of seems like, well, we know we made it into the playoffs, but we know we're going to lose in the wild card round, and that's going to be it.
Well, and Orlovsky was breaking down the quarterbacks, which we can talk about later or whatever, but Orlovsky said, is there a player facing more pressure in these playoffs? He goes, I'd go so far as to say there hadn't been one in the last 10 years. Now, he was assuming that he might play at some point. This was before they announced that he was out for the wild card weekend, and like at least I think Cincinnati beats him, so I don't think we see him play in the playoffs this year. But basically, because he said about the contract, how much he's betting on himself. And, guys, you know, if you're going to sign him, how big of a deal is it to you that he missed five games last year? And if he misses this one, that's, what, six this year? So he's missed five and six games. Again, how much money are you? But when he's been healthy, his QBR is third since he got drafted in 2018 among all the active quarterbacks, right behind Mahomes and Allen. So he's played at a very high level where he can flat out, like as Orlovsky says, take over postseason with his talent when he's healthy. So I don't know. That's a real intriguing thing to watch to see, you know, what happens.
Orlovsky had another really good point, though, and that is the lack of practice. So let's say that he would be able to come back and physically he could go this weekend. How much good is he going to do you? Now, he's going to do you better than the third string guy that they rolled out there last week, but how effective is he going to be having been off as long as he has, having not practiced for as long as he has? They're just in a bad situation all the way around with this thing, but they've got to make a decision because there is value there. I think they could go out and I mean, I think most people would think that they were stupid to do it, but they could go out and get return for Lamar Jackson rather than just letting it get away. And I think that the last thing they ought to want to do is to franchise him because he's already unhappy with the organization. That's going to make him that much more happy. I know Mark always points out the amount of money that he'll make, which is fair and valid, but the contract situation doesn't get really better if you're a franchise guy for somebody that's looking for a longer deal.
Marcus, any more thoughts on that, on Lamar Jackson?
I think kind of a disappointing year for the Ravens. They've got some issues. I like the signing of Roquan Smith for them on defense. The secondary play hasn't been great for Baltimore this year. It's just been kind of a ho-hum season, probably a little bit below their their standards, and they've been consistently good for a long period of time. It's a tough division with them and the Steelers. They've had a lot of success, both teams.
Okay, the other one I want to hit on real quick before we take an opening timeout is Tua. That situation, we know he's out for the wild card round, all right? But, and we know it's, you know, concussion-related, all of that. My deal is when he has been healthy this year, like his QBR is ranked number 3 for the whole season, his yards per attempt is almost 9 yards per attempt, which is off the charts. That's number 1 in the whole NFL. But again, going forward, what is his future like in Miami? They were even, batting it around this morning. You know, would they be interested if they go away from Tua, for health reasons and so forth? Would they go to Tom Brady for 1 year next year in Miami? What would that look like with the weapons that they have there in Miami? Any thoughts on that one, guys?
Don't like it. I don't know. I don't know how much Tom has left. I don't. And again, to his health issues, I thought for sure he would start this week, but. I mean, maybe if he can't go and it's concussions and it seems like to be chronic concussions, then I would think that he's done, that they really don't have to any kind of decision to make, right?
Yeah, that was going to be my point, Mark, is that it is a chronic situation. And we've had, there was that time earlier, I don't know if it was this round or the round before, where they withheld Tua. Nobody knew they were going to withhold him from playing that week. And then they revealed it was concussion related. And then they revealed that it was concussion related that hadn't gone through the protocol. Like there hadn't been an instance that led them to take him to the protocol to find out that he was not going to be able to go that week. This guy, as good as he can be and as good as that team has been when he's been healthy, I just don't see how he can be viable. I mean, we've heard enough from quarterbacks that have played long-term in the NFL that talk about how they multiply on you getting those concussions. I just don't see how Tua is going to be a viable NFL quarterback for any period of time.
So, anyway, we'll see what happens. See if the Dolphins, they're 13.5-point dog to the Bills. I mean, Matt, were you saying that's the highest spread ever for
Pat said that. Could be true.
Wild card round. Anyway, so the odds are his season is also done for right now, but the big question there is what do they do going forward? And by the way, Tyler Thompson in line to start for Miami because Teddy Bridgewater is still dealing with a dislocated pinky on his throwing hand. And so they're probably going with Skylar Thompson going to Buffalo again. That's why Vegas has it at 13.5.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Big game in college basketball last night in Fayetteville. Number 4, Alabama, taking on number 15, Arkansas. And Marcus, this Brandon Miller of Alabama, he was much talked about, a lot of hype on his recruiting and so forth, averaging better than 19 points, 8 boards, shooting 44% from 3, had 36 points against Gonzaga. He had, when they go up against Kentucky, all right, he had 19 points, best player on the floor. They win it by 26. So now they go into Fayetteville. And for much of the night, he's hardly taken a shot, Mark. And it's a two-point game coming down the stretch. And then Clowney knocks in a three from the corner. And then Miller knocks down two straight threes. Boom, boom, boom. And a two-point game turns into an 11-point game. And Alabama wins another big road game. So add that to what they did winning at Houston, Marcus. So what are your thoughts on Alabama?
Well, I love Nate Oates as a coach. They're fun to watch. They shoot a bunch of threes, and they're pretty good at it. They make quite a few. But the transition game is excellent for them. So they play in Norman coming up, what, two weeks from Saturday in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That will be it'll be good for OU's schedule strength. It'll be good for their record. OU's one of the top teams in the country defending the three, so I think that they'll have to, you know, really slow the tempo down and keep that Alabama team from getting the kind of looks that they want.
Brad, what do you think? I mean, Arkansas did a heck of a job. Like I said, he didn't even attempt a shot in the first half. Guys leading the SEC and scoring at over 18 points a game. But what do you think about, I mean, Bama, to me, they just had the look of a Final Four team last night.
Well, they were favored by a point and a half, and they wound up winning by,
15? Yeah.
15 points, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they were getting it done. I think it'll be a good test for Oklahoma when they come into Norman. I'm sure that they're going to be doing everything they can to get a crowd there and make it a raucous environment. But Alabama probably one of the better opponents that the Sooners are going to play between now and the Big 12 tournament. I mean, outside, obviously, of the
conference.
Yeah, conference.
Kansas, yeah. No question. Okay, speaking of the Big 12, last night, Mark, Baylor finally gets their first conference win. They win at West Virginia. Keontae George had 32 in this one. He knocked down five threes in this game. That was his season high. But Baylor led by six at halftime, but they had eight lead changes just in the second half of this game, and it comes down to the wire. But West Virginia, they're not a bad team, but they're 0-4 now in conference, Marcus.
Well, they're 0-4, but I mean, I think for the key for OU and OSU to get into the NCAA tournament, that's a team they need to sweep. All right? I think West Virginia is at a level of where they're below kind of everybody else, but yet they'll still have some games in which they win. I think Baylor's kind of due. Keontae George is a good player. Man, he is just another one of the elite recruits that Scott Drew has been able to bring in.
Flagler had 19 for them. He also had four assists in the game. They have Jalen Bridges, a kid that transferred from West Virginia, so that was an interesting deal. He made his return. And I tell you what, he didn't disappoint. He had 10 points, 11 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds in the game for the Baylor Bears last night. So, anyway, that was a big win. Those teams combined, by the way, for 54 foul shots in the second half, and Baylor made 28 out of 36 overall in that game. And then, Marcus, maybe the game in the conference, TCU, they had Texas down 18 points in Austin in the first half of that game, and the Longhorns come all the way back, and it goes back and forth down the stretch. Texas gets out with a 79-75 win at home against TCU last night.
I mean, I think ranking the Big 12 teams is a pretty difficult task. I mean, right now I would have Kansas 1, I would have Iowa State 2, probably K-State 3, Texas 4. I mean, and it gets tough there. I mean, I think Baylor and TCU are the next two. Then, you know, some combination of OU and OSU and Tech and West Virginia.
What's going on with Tech? How did they fall so far so fast?
They've had some injuries, and then they're not shooting it very well. And I don't think Mark Adams is the same coach as Chris Beard. I think it's just going to take it will take
well,
a
they
bit
might be me. Able to get Chris Beard back now if they want to take the PR hit to do it.
Wow, that would be tantamount to OU taking Lincoln Riley back. I mean, there's a lot of animosity there.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a good point.
Marcus, ESPN put out a mid-season, you know, deal in college basketball where they're giving out some mid-season awards and giving their thoughts on, you know, big surprise, big disappointments and so forth. On the All-American team picks, I mean, Marcus Sasser, they had four different experts making the picks, and I think Sasser from Houston made first team on three of them. But also Jalen Wilson from Kansas, I think he made first team on three out of four. Talk about Jalen Wilson, the year he's having, Marcus.
Yeah, he's leading the Big 12 in scoring and second in rebounding. So he's having a great season. And a guy that's kind of stayed around at Kansas. So he's a really good player.
And Marquise Noel from K-State, one of the guys had him as first-team All-American. I mean, this guy can flat-out light it up, huh?
Well, the way that he's been playing lately, yeah. I mean, he's got no conscience. I mean, his range is incredible. He's distributing the ball. That offense is wide open. I think it's fun for players to play in that offense, in that style. Jerome Tang is a really good recruiter. I think things are really looking up for K-State basketball. I mean, again, within that league, when you replace Bruce Weber, who is as dull as a, you know, I mean, to me, a guy that just was a really good coach but didn't have the ability to recruit a ton, and you replace him with a guy that's dynamic like Tang, I think that's trouble for the rest of the league.
But, Brad, the thing in college basketball right now, I mean, you had North Carolina, Gonzaga, Kentucky were three out of the top four teams at the start of the year. And they've combined to lose 12 games already. Houston, they just got out, you know, with their lives at home against South Florida last night. Now, that Houston has played very well. Their only loss, a home game against Alabama. We talked about Alabama, but UConn lost two in a row after they started 14-0. UConn got back on the winning track last night. Well, no, they didn't. I mean, they lost to Marquette last night. Yeah, so they're only 4-3 in conference now.
It's another pretty tough conference.
Yeah, pretty tough conference. Yeah, they lost at Marquette last night, who's another top 25 team. But Marcus, yeah, or Brad, weigh in. But I mean, college basketball is kind of jumbled up right now. I mean, it's hard to pick the top two or three teams in the country.
It is. I think Houston's up there. I think Kelvin's team is really good.
What happened really, really to Houston good. Last night, Mark?
I don't know. It's a good question.
They played South Florida, and South Florida's only 7-10, Brad. Now, I mean, South Florida's now 0-4 in conference. And, you know, they played the interview with Kelvin going to the halftime locker room where he said he wasn't happy with anything that he had seen from anyone on his team last night. Last night, their two best players, probably, you know, Sasser and Shedd. I don't know. Shedd is just such a key as a playmaker for them, Marcus. But Sasser had 31 and Shedd had 20 last night. And, you know, they brought him home. Roberts, I don't know what happened to him last night. Didn't see the game. He only scored 3 points in 18 minutes last night. But no, they're really good. I mean, it's just their normal Kelvin team that just gets after it on defense, and they hammer the offensive boards hard. And they have some guys that can shoot the ball too, right, Marcus?
They do. I mean, and again, I think they're really, really well coached with Kelvin. And so – You know you're going to get that, and they're more athletic than I think they've been in a while.
I didn't know they were favored by 23.5, and they wound up getting the win, but they won by 6.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure exactly what.
No,
had gone
it wasn't
wrong
a good
for them.
Game. I just think is one where they went through the motions. They played a lot of big games recently. Won a big one in Cincinnati over the weekend. You know, right, Mark? I mean, they've played a ton of big games, and so this was maybe one where they just
let down,
you know, mailed it in, which they don't normally do.
No.
But yeah, you look at who could be in the Final Four right now, and you know, out of their experts, Marcus, I think three out of the four picked Kansas to get to the Final Four. I think all of them picked Houston to get to the Final Four.
Houston's seed will be good. I mean, I you know how it is. It's going to be really, really hard. Not the Blue Bloods are down this year, quite a bit.
Not Kentucky, North Carolina, right?
Yeah, and UCLA's okay, but yeah, not a lot of teams that are typically up there. And again, I don't know how how are they going to place the Big 12 teams in brackets throughout the tournament.
You know, a team I was just thinking about, guys, that we have barely talked about this year, Duke.
Purdue.
Oh, there's another one.
Yep. Duke. So they're 13-4, lost to Kansas, no shame there. Lost to Purdue, no shame there. But they've also lost to Wake Forest and got hammered by NC State. I'm just thinking, by now we've talked a lot about Duke. You know, where do they fit in the picture and everything? And first year without Coach K. I'm looking at the schedule, Mark. Fair to say the ACC is down?
Yeah. From where? Yes, because North Carolina and Duke.
Yeah, correct, right.
They're not near as good as they were last year.
I mean, right now, this week in the polls, Miami is 16th, Virginia is 13th. But, like, you know, I'm just looking down Duke's schedule, and they just don't have a whole lot of ranked opponents left on their schedule. They got a couple games with Miami and one with Virginia. But seems like the ACC is down. Now, I mean, Duke played some, you know, decent, you know, they played a decent non-conference schedule. But anyway, I don't know. It's just interesting. You know, this is the first year, and Duke's 24th in the polls right now, but first year without Coach K, and, you know, it's like, I don't know, guys. It's like we're not just us. I just haven't heard a lot of talk about them across the country, you know?
You're right about that, for sure. There's not a lot of talk about it.
I mean, I just had to look up their schedule to see what kind of year they're having. Literally, if you had asked me 3 minutes ago what kind of year's Duke's having, I wouldn't have known until I looked it up, you know?
Well, and then you look at North Carolina, and North Carolina is sitting there 3-3 in conference. They're 0-4 on the road this year and so forth, and they were picked, you know, in the top four.
In the national championship game last year.
Right, yeah.
Now,
yeah,
of course, college basketball, it's very, in and out with players, but still,
Well, and then Kentucky. Guys, I mean, Brad, you got any thoughts on Coach Cal and Kentucky and –
When the fan, I mean, I can't believe they removed that fan for holding a sign up that said "Go ahead and go to Texas" or whatever it was that it said. I mean, when your fans are telling you you should go ahead and take that job, yeah, there's something not quite right. I've never been a Calipari fan, so I couldn't happen to a nicer guy as far as I'm concerned.
Now, evidently, that fan did go voluntarily though, because I think they asked him to put the sign away and he wouldn't do it.
Is that right? You know, okay.
So he chose to leave, yeah, rather than put the sign away. Yeah, so I guess, I mean, it's a matter of semantics there on whether he was tossed out or not. But, Coach Cal, I mean, that definitely would – Kentucky right now would have to be the biggest disappointment, I think, so far. I mean, along with Carolina, Kentucky, Carolina. Louisville is, what, 2-13?
Did you remember how they started the year with all those like 1-point losses to horrible teams at home?
I mean, that's just kind of hard to believe. And 0-8 against major conference opponents.
Their first three games, they lost by 1 point to Bellarmine, Wright State, and Appalachian State on their home floor. That's how Louisville started. Yeah. And then they started off, let's see, overall 1-2, started off 0-9. Now, after those games, they did play some ranked teams. Arkansas, now Texas Tech has had some injuries, like Mark said, and they've slipped back. But, Maryland was ranked at the time that they played them. Then they got into the ACC. They got hammered by Miami, hammered by Florida State. Louisville's two wins this year, Western Kentucky and Florida A&M. But they did get a win over Kentucky. I'll tell you, that will not have gone very well in Lexington. As bad as Louisville's been,
that was the problem.
Yeah, that was on New Year's Eve. Folks in Kentucky, you want to talk about a psychotic fan base? Kentucky basketball. I mean, if there's any place in the country in any sport that has unrealistic expectations, it's Kentucky.
Well, they asked these guys to make bold predictions, and this Jeff Borzello said, his bold prediction was that 0 ACC teams will advance past the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. He goes, last year, when the ACC struggled for much of the season, ultimately they got 5 bids to the big dance, had 3 teams in the Elite Eight, and 2 in the Final Four.
But this year, I don't even know how bold that is. Yeah. I mean,
right.
I mean, yeah. The thought of that, guys, no ACC team playing in the Sweet 16, I guess you could say that, but like, you know, in the polls this week, you know, Virginia's at 13, Miami's at 16. The other poll, Virginia at 12, Miami at 15. Unless I'm missing an ACC team in here somewhere.
You got Duke and Carolina, Louisville.
Yeah.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Talked a lot about this Bucks game earlier, Marcus, but the Bucks had Atlanta down by 24 in Atlanta last night. And I'm going back and forth with the Bama-Arkansas game and really not interested in the NBA game because the Bucks were so dominant in the first half. And then, all of a sudden, here comes Atlanta. Atlanta came all the way back, actually had a two-point lead late in that game, and then the Bucks made the plays down the stretch. But, Marcus, I guess the biggest surprise there is Giannis has had two games here in the last week where he has not been in double digits scoring-wise, but he had 18 rebounds and 10 assists last night, only 7 points.
Yeah, I know his offensive struggles this year. I mean, again, he's not taking the best of shots. And Milwaukee just kind of just look like to me they're just kind of going through the motions.
Holiday hit a big shot for him late. Brook Lopez hit a big three from the right corner in that game. So they're still, hey, they're still good. Joe Ingles has just started playing recently, but he's going to help him a lot. You know, I'm not saying they're bad because they are 27-14 and they got a lot of firepower. Celtics, they win last night at home against New Orleans. Now, they're playing second of a back-to-back tonight in Brooklyn, 6:30 game on TNT. Unfortunately, we can't see Kevin Durant, but, guys, I mean, when you have Jaylen Brown and Tatum, Brad, I mean, Jaylen Brown goes for 41, Tatum 31 last night, and then now that they can bring a guy like Malcolm Brogdon off the bench and he scores 20 very efficiently, I tell you, there's a reason Celtics are 30-12, huh?
Yeah, they're stacked is why they're 30-12. And I think it speaks volumes that they are playing as well as they have when we didn't know what was going to happen with the coaching situation there. I mean, it just shows you the talent that's on that team. When Mark and I saw them here, Jaylen Brown was the one player that looked pretty serious about coming out and playing. The rest of the Celtics team looked pretty disengaged from the process, and they wound up losing in a manner that indicated that they were disengaged. But make no mistake, I mean, there's so much talent through and through on that Celtics roster that they're going to be formidable for anybody.
All right, Marcus, we ask you this all the time. I know you've said, I mean, overall, you're going to pick Golden State to win the West, but just as far as regular season, I mean, it's quite a battle right now between Memphis and Denver. And Memphis gets their eighth in a row last night at home against San Antonio. Now, it's against San Antonio, and they let San Antonio, they kept them in the game because they didn't play much defense last night, a team that's lost 6 out of 7, Mark. But where are you right now on this Memphis team, Marcus?
Pretty high. They've got a little bit of playoff experience from last year, so I would rate them a little bit ahead of Denver. But I do think that those are the two teams that have got enough youth and motivation to try to get the top seed. And I think it's important for those teams. I don't think they want to play at Golden State, you know, in a playoff series.
Right,
Craig.
Right.
Where are you on your Clippers?
My Clippers. We talked a lot about it last week, Brad. They lost 6 in a row. Obviously, they won the other night against Dallas. Kawhi had a big game. You know, Kawhi and Paul George weren't playing for a long time. Paul George is still out right now. I have not given up on my Clips, Brad. But I mean, these guys just they got to play, right? I mean, that it's, you know. And that's my frustration level.
It's hard to win if your stars aren't playing. Although, you know, here's the bigger conundrum to me, and I know we're up against the break, but I can't figure out Minnesota. Minnesota played great last year. They showed a lot of raw potential. They made that move for Gobert. Whether you like or dislike that move, I didn't think that it would cause them to fall apart the way that they have so far this season. I can't figure out what's going on in Minnesota. That's the biggest puzzlement to me in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I didn't expect them to be number 10 in the conference. I didn't like that move, but I mean, I still would have put them up there, what, Mark, in the, you know, at least 7 or 8 range or whatever. I mean, the West is stacked. Phoenix is having, you know, big time problems, you know, right now. Just, I mean, health, talk about, you know, with when you have Booker and Chris Paul out and campaign, and then you add the other guys that have been out recently, like DeAndre Ayton and Shamet. I mean, there's a reason that Phoenix is under 500 right now. Marcus, we were just talking. I mean, Jokic, he just night after night, last night it was 21-18 with 9 assists. it seems to me he's playing better than he did in the MVP seasons.
Well, he's playing really good. Like I said, yeah. I mean, sometimes, though, the MVPs for him are at times empty, and it doesn't have anything to do with his skill, but his ball dominance always piles up incredible statistics. But, again, I think that he can be a liability on the defensive end of the floor, where if you really had to pick a true MVP in the NBA, if we just open it up and said, okay, these players are the most integral in winning a championship, I don't think Jokic is going to get picked in the top two or three.
Well, he's definitely not until they can do something more in the postseason. But the difference between them,
that's why they don't do a whole lot in the postseason.
Right, I understand. I get where you're coming from. But the difference between them and Dallas, to me, because that situation in Dallas with Doncic is somewhat same. Similar, is mm-hmm. that they've got more around him, that they do have the potential to do better if they can stay healthy. I don't think Dallas can do any better until they get some more pieces that can pick up the slack
I think
or play better on the floor with Doncic.
The difference in Dallas and Denver is I do think Jokic is a better – he's a much better team player. Like, he facilitates more offense of everybody being involved, where Luka is a lot of – all of his assists are a little bit differently coming off of ball dominance. Defensively, I think both of them are not much of a factor in stopping the opposition.
Well, we can talk more tomorrow, Marcus. But as I've said, though, I mean, you had Murray and Porter back, and then you had the KCP and Bruce Brown pickups, I think, were huge for that team. I give them a lot more chance now than ever before in Denver.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.